This podcast contains explicit language. Viewer discretion is advised.
He got the shot off! Throw it down!
He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk.
Here we go.
Bang it up!
You're listening to the Benchwarmers and Burners podcast with your host, Josh Lozano.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
Yo, and welcome back to another episode of the Benchwarmers and Burners podcast. I'm your host, Josh Lozano, part of the Belly Up Sports Network. This week, bringing in my good friend, hasn't been on the show for a while, but I talk to him almost every day. Adam Morris knows everything Philadelphia 76ers, and for once, and they're not disappointing him. How you doing?
Finally coming together, man. Finally coming together.
He said the process.
The process is progressing, finally.
Yeah,
we're already working on the Morey statue, so it's coming.
Was it going to be, because Morey's all about, cost-based return. What is he going to do? He's not going to want the statue in bronze, right? What's like a Daryl Morey thing? He's going to be like, I want it like titanium or something.
Honestly, he'll probably want like a hologram or something.
Oh, yeah. He's going to say you need
to... It's a nice projection, like right in the front.
Like the Tupac one. That's definitely way more Daryl Morey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, we have a great episode for you guys, but before we get into it, I just want to say, if you guys can, make sure to check out the Patreon. We're up 39 units. Also, it helps keep the lights on. And second, I just want to take a moment to, this week, Sekou Smith passed away, and also it was the one-year anniversary of Kobe Bean Bryant. Sekou Smith was one of those guys when I was a little kid, and a lot of people my age too, grew up reading his NBA.com articles. And it's just crazy to me that, you know, now that we're a little bit older, he passed away because he was so young. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of give a moment for those two before we get into the episode. So we got a fun one for you. Basically what Adam and I are doing is we used all our advanced algorithms and models. I basically had to rent two Mac computers just to be able to pull this off, but we are calculating our East and West All-Stars. Basically how it's gonna work is Adam and I are gonna start with our East All-Stars. And then we're going to do our West, and then we're going to do their East Reserve, and then we're going to do our West Reserve. And there's no rules to this. I didn't tell Adam, like, hey, you know, do it this way. We have free reign. How I'm personally going to do it, and then maybe Adam, you can explain how you made your list, is I basically made who I think, because this is our super early All-Star projections. I made my list on who I want to see in the All-Star game, and then I also kind of made a list who I believe by the time All-Star game happens, who I think is going to be in. But is that kind of how do you do your list?
Yeah, pretty similar. My biggest thing is I think it's going to be confusing just because of the standings. Depending on where everybody falls when All-Star game comes around, you dictate whether, you know, a team should have two people in or one person, or, you know, even if it's a team we might expect to get in the playoffs, if they're out of the playoffs, it's hard to even give them, you know, one at that point.
Yeah, and then the thing is too, for the more casual listeners, so the starters get voted in. Basically, it's like half fans, half, you know, player votes, and then half coaching votes. But the reserves are just all coaches. So that's why you get, you know, some guys who make the All-Star team there's some guys who, like, the only way they're going to make the All-Star team is by being voted as a starter. There's absolutely no way that a coach is going to pick this guy to be an All-Star. Just like there's some guys that get picked as an All-Star, and you're like, why did that guy get picked? This guy is so much better. Look at the stats. But, you know, the coaches just value winning. Like, they value winning guys. That's why Rudy Gobert is, like, almost a guarantee. He's an All-Star reserve every single year. Every coach is like, yeah, Rudy Gobert is my All-Star. But, Adam, you're my guest. I'm going to let you open up. Who's your, rounding out? You could do your, because they do the guards, and then they do the forwards. So, I'll let you start. Who's your three forwards for the East All-Stars?
Yeah, my three forwards is going to be KD, Giannis, and Embiid. I feel like it's kind of non-negotiable at that point. I could see any of the three being the captains for the East too, but I can't really see either one of those three dropping out of the...
Yeah, I agree with you on that. The thing is also for the casual, the captains are usually the most votes, and that's why it's been back-to-back, kind of like Giannis and LeBron. This year, I could really see Joel Embiid being the starter in the East with the most vote. Yeah,
captain.
But yeah, I basically have identical too. This is you.
Yeah, I could say it's between Giannis or Embiid. I still feel like KD just kind of has a lot of the salty fans, so I don't really see him getting as many of like the the people votes as he probably deserves. But yeah, I think between Giannis or Embiid, especially because they're foreign players, so you got a whole other audience probably looking in to vote for them. So I think either one of them deserve it. So I think it'd be good.
Yeah, it's funny too because that's why. That's why Shaq used to bitch and moan. Well, Shaq bitches and moan all the time. Oh, that's another thing I forgot. I want to talk about Shaq, but we'll do that in the break. How about that? We'll do that. You're down for that, Adam? Like an intermission in between our All-Star?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Man, Shaq is bitching.
Little Shaqton intermission.
Yeah, a little Shaqton intermission. I love that. But that's why Shaq used to hate, because he's like, it's fucked up. I'm not voted as an All-Star, a starter. I'm, the MVP of the league. I'm Shaquille O'Neal. Because Yao Ming would get all these Chinese international. And this is back in the day. When it was like dial-up AOL voting, it was like people don't know, but back in the day, even before the internet, how people used to vote for the All-Star game was like an election, right? Like you'd have to go to the arena and actually fill out your ballot and then put it in a little box, right? So if you guys were talking about like ballot harvesting and all that, imagine that back in the day, try to get your All-Star selected. So
well, the craziest part too, now I still don't even understand how they calculate the fan vote, because now they're apparently calculating it off of like retweets and hashtags, and you can vote like I think like 5 times a day, every day of the week. So I don't even know how to calculate. It's pretty ridiculous in my opinion. I think you should kind of just get one vote and leave it at that, just for the sake of consistency.
Yeah, that's actually a good point you brought up. I'm actually going to get Austin the intern to figure that out. And then also too, that kind of leaves room for bots and things like that. Because I can't even I can't even get the shoes I want because these bots are taking it. What if some kid puts it in and then, isn't it? That's how guys like Zaza Pachulia almost always end up in the starting.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I mean, even, what's his name? Caruso last year. He was somewhere on the fan vote too.
But I get it though, when Lakers guys kind of get it, just because there's a huge fan base, but also just because it's spammy, because, there's a good bunch of people who aren't even Lakers fans that just do it. And then It makes guys like Dame and them really upset, which I understand it too, because I'm a pretty prideful guy. You are too. And it's like, dude, I'm getting less votes. I'm the 8th most voted guard in the West compared to this guy who, is riding the pine. But, there's a lot of like factors, like you were saying, like bots and stuff and trolls. So, but Embiid, Durant, Giannis, I think it's just that simple. Because if you look at the numbers, it's ironic too. All of them all played, basically, they all have around the same amount of games played, which you'd be kind of surprised because it feels like Durant's missed a ton of time. He's played 15 games. Embiid's played 15 games. Giannis, as we record this tonight, played his 17th game. So they're all around that. And none of them really. What I'm surprised about, let's take a moment to talk about Durant. I'm really surprised about how many, like, the amount of minutes Kevin Durant is getting this season. 32, first season off an Achilles. Kevin Durant is playing 36 minutes per game.
Yeah, and he's had a bunch of games going to overtime too. And it's kind of, not really his choice, I feel like, because obviously they need the wins, but, I wouldn't be pushing for that. I'd give him as many back-to-backs off as possible if I was the coach.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, but like, we were talking about it. What was it, 146 the Nets put up? We were texting each other about
147
it?
Tonight.
Yeah.
And KD wasn't even playing. It was just, Harden and Kyrie.
You were saying that this was basically D'Antoni's, like, fantasy. You're saying he's just smiling ear to ear.
This is what he imagined the whole time. They got the whole crew back together.
Yeah. Here, you don't have to, but who do you think is going to be the all-star captain out of the East? It doesn't have to be a forward. I'm kind of just assuming, because I'm assuming that these three guys are going to be the heavy hitters, because my two guards are definitely not going to get any more votes than either one of these guys.
Yeah. I mean, like, bias aside, I really do think Embiid's got the best case to get it. But I do think Giannis is just a more popular, well-rounded player, just in the league in general. Mm-hmm. So I want, and I think Embiid deserves it, but I do think Giannis is probably going to get it over him.
Yeah. We'll see. I totally understand what you're saying coming from, especially because he has the international vote. Embiid does kind of have that too going for him. I just think that voter fatigue is going to set in at this point. I just think that it was really cool the first, two times, LeBron, Giannis drafting your teams. I think that LeBron's going to get it in because, like, LeBron's our generation's Jordan, and that fool's just going to be all-star captain until he's like 41, whenever he decides to fucking retire. So that's a wash. But this year, I think they're going to be like, oh, Giannis, yeah, you know, he's not, you know, if the Sixers are the number one seed, which it looks like they still will be by then, because they're a really well-constructed team, coach really well, playing hard, I think it's Embiid. But all right, you want to transition to our guards?
Sure. Yeah, do you want to go first or me to go first?
Yeah, you know what? I'll go first to give you some time. But my starting guard, who I think just ultimately deserves it, and I've always been hyping him up for a long time, is Jaylen Brown. I think that should be the first guard selection. Easy. I think he's probably going to end up... I don't think he's going to end up with the most votes. The guard who I think is going to get voted in, I didn't even put because I didn't want him in my starting lineup. But I think Jaylen Brown... here, give me a second. Let me... computer's overheating from all the work I'm putting it through, but let me pull up his stats. But Jaylen Brown's a phenomenal two-way player. I've been telling people that the gap between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum is not as big as you think. Jason Tatum just came out way hotter than Jaylen Brown did. And that's just a testament to, like, the Celtics are just a good organization. They know how to draft well because they killed it in those drafts, and they know how to develop guys because they didn't force Jaylen Brown to be something he's not. They literally let him grow into it. And then now look at him. He's able to run that team perfectly fine with a hobbled Kemba and no Tatum. And then they're out there still working teams, getting wins or keeping it close. Jaylen Brown is averaging 27 points this season, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and shooting 50%. It's not like an inefficient, ugly 27. He's shooting 52% and 44% from the 3-point line. Like, Jaylen Brown
is a flamethrower all season.
And he will lock up your best. Like, he is the epitome two-way guy. It's like, I just like it, it, to me, Jaylen Brown deserves it. He held it down. That's my first one. And my second guy, who I don't believe he's probably going to make an all-star, which, but you know, who gives a fuck? This is my show. I can do whatever I want.
Stay off the weed.
Is real deal Beal. I think Bradley Beal deserves it. It's like, your team fucking stinks. Because I'll tell you who I think these kids are going to vote in for the starters. Because that's who mostly, it's like all these guys on Twitter that don't even have like a real pitcher. You know, and they're out there, they're like, hashtag retweet Jaylen Brown. But I think Bradley Beal deserves it. Bradley Beal, he's averaging 35 points this season. And the thing is, too, it's not even, yeah, his averages are not the most efficient, like if you compare it to Jaylen Brown, but for the amount of volume he takes, they're not bad.
Yeah, it's efficient enough.
Yeah, he's shooting 48%, almost close to 50, which is still ridiculous for the amount of shots he takes and the way that they double triple team him. And he's shooting 36% from the 3-point line, averaging 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Like, Bradley Beal is just a fucking stud. He deserves to be, I think, an all-star. I just don't think that they're going to get him. I don't think the Wizards are going to have enough wins for him to be picked by the coaches, the grumpy coaches. And I don't think that he's popular enough to get voted as an all-star. But those are my two.
Yeah. I kind of put my 1-2 interchangeable with a third guy. You made great points. I do think Brown 100% deserves it. I think he should be probably the first lock. But I think the other two, I could kind of actually see more people giving the fan vote. And that being 50% makes me kind of iffy on who will actually get it. So the three guards I have would be Tatum, Beal, and then Trey. I feel like Trey's the least deserving out of the three, but I 100% think he's going to get that fan vote, especially because he got it last year being only a sophomore, which I didn't even agree with then. Beal, I think at this point, we all just kind of feel bad for the guy. You know, especially contractually, like, he wants to stay with the Wizards, so he says, especially the last 2 years, but he's actually missed out on money from not making both the all-star team and the all-NBA. And so I really, you know, I'm voting for him. I do think he deserves it, but at this point, I feel like a lot of people really just feel bad for the guy, you know what I mean? So I think, I don't want to call it a pity vote, but I do think a lot of people will be thrown in because of that. And if you can get enough of the fan vote, being 50%, that's really all you need. I agree with you that the coaches probably won't like it being there in last place by a large margin. But yeah, any of the three. And I do think Brown's the most deserving, like I said. But I think if it comes down to a fan vote, I don't know why, but I do see him maybe missing out compared to the other two, just because Trey, I feel like, has got a cult following. And then Beal, I feel like a lot more casual fans would be voting for him. Whereas a lot of people, you know, don't really like the Celtics as much. So I don't think people would throw him, even though I think, again, he totally deserves it. I'd vote for him. I can see people just leaving them off out of spite at the Celtics.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, but the counter is, like, the Celtics do have a massive fan base. But I agree with you. Trae Young spoiled it, Adam. But you spoiled it for me. But Trae Young is going to, because, like, think about it. He made it last year. And this year he's improved. He had a kind of that dry spell, if you believe in superstitions when Steve Nash was saying, that's not what real basketball looks like, you know? And then he kind of went on the slump, but then now he's back. He's going back to shooting, averaging 30. I just think that if Trae Young made it last year and he's just only gotten better compared to Luka, who, you know, was regressed just a little bit, but that regress is so, so, so minor. But Trae Young actually he's better than he was last year, and he got selected as an all-star. Like, what's the change? That's why for me, I think, I think it's going to end up being Embiid, Durant, Giannis, Jaylen Brown, and Trae Young. That's who I actually think it is, but I want Bradley Beal in there. Or it could be James Harden. James Harden's like a popular kind of vote guy, but I think that this year his image kind of took a hit. He's like wait a year, you know?
And so to run off that, and I think another two that you got to talk about, but you don't really want to give it to them, is going to be Kyrie and Harden, which should be the no-brainer for one and two. You know, in a normal season, probably even over Brown, even though I know he's been killing it this season. But just image-wise, with how many games, you know, Kyrie missed, what, 2-3 weeks. Harden not only came from the West, but also missed a few games. And he's been playing decent, but not, you know, normal Harden numbers since he's been on the Nets, you know, considering he's playing with the other two. And especially because if the Nets are going to be, you know, a 4 or 5 seed, it's hard to give them 3 All-Stars. Even if that potential is going to be best team in the East.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's how usually you end up getting the two All-Stars, is because the fans vote the popular guy in. Like, they vote in the Joel Embiid. They vote in the Giannis. And the coaches, because, you know, they care about winning, they vote in the Middletons. They get the Ben Simmons, you know? That's usually how it happens. But my argument is, I don't think Kyrie... I think that the Nets are going to be good enough, because they're fourth in the standing when we're recording this. I think they're going to be good enough. I have a lot of guys in the West that are double dipping for teams, and I don't have it too much as in the East. I got a couple, but I don't see them good enough to have three. And if one had to stay, I think it would have to be end up being James Harden, even though his numbers are lower this year than they've been since he's 23, 24, because he's averaging 24.6 rebounds, 11 assists. Kyrie's actually averaging more points than him at 27. So. We'll see. I also think that these guys will like cannibalize their votes by the coaches, if that makes any sense. Because let's just say, you know, 18 coaches vote for Harden, 3 vote for Kyrie. Well, that's 3 more votes that could have gone to Harden. But
yeah,
okay, all right. You want to transition over to our West All Stars?
Yeah.
All right. Here,
just 1 through 5, or
yeah, you can go first. You can open the floor. Start with your 3 forwards again, just to keep the continuity.
Yeah, LeBron, Kawhi, Jokic. I don't really think that can be even... Well, you can kind of question Kawhi, but only because I think PG's actually been playing just as good. They just kind of take turns. They've both been shooting, you know, crazy efficient. But LeBron, Kawhi, Jokic has to be the 3.
Yeah, I have no arguments there. That's exactly my 3 forwards, too. It's crazy how stacked that West, the starters are when you look at it. Because I don't have a single guy cracking my West starters like a first timer, like possibly Jaylen Brown or a guy like it's just so fucking stacked. And these are like pillars of the NBA, community. It's like LeBron James, Jokic, who's having an MVP season, Kawhi, who, you know, in the playoffs, he seems like the most valuable player that any team can have, like a two way play. Having a two way player is so valuable. That's why I'm really high on Jaylen Brown. But I really like all those guys. And then my thing about Kawhi, too, is I'm confident that he's going to have enough games to make it, because he has not been sitting back to backs. The only time he missed games is when him and PG had the COVID issue, and when he took the people's elbow from Serge Ibaka. That's the only time that Kawhi's really missed games. So
Hannibal Leonard.
Yeah, Hannibal Leonard. But that's basically mine. It's cool, too, because this year... Because they got rid of the center spot, you know, they're really like trying to make the centers extinct. Yeah, there's 2 centers. It's gonna end up being Embiid and Jokic, which is awesome. Because I love.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't been giving the centers as much love, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their time is it's coming.
But I also get it, because there was a while where the All-Stars starters would be like Roy Hibbert, you know, versus Dwight Howard. And you'd be like, Howard, I see it. Like, Roy Hibbert's like, I guess he's the best center in the East, you know, when like Howard was on the Houston Rockets and Lakers. Like, okay, I guess.
He calls for it more now.
Yeah, no, the centers now are way, way tighter than they were before. So I get it. Maybe we can go, because there's like if you look at maybe not in the West. I feel like the East centers are way more stacked. But here, all right, I don't got really much else to add on that. I already said my captain. I think it's LeBron. I'm assuming you feel the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. It would honestly, if he's ever on an all-star team and not captain, it would be a shock.
Yeah, I'm wondering what kind of, because LeBron, I love the guy. He's a Laker, but also if he wasn't a Laker, he converted me after they won that final series. I'm just trying to figure out how he's going to somehow capitalize and tie this into Space Jams, like the all-star game.
Yeah, right.
He's just going to figure out a way to tie it with the money. But all right, my two guards, which this is actually a little tough for me, and I'm kind of going a little bit different with it. I think that we might end up having different ones, but my first one, because this is about all the starters, the winning record doesn't matter, like we were saying about the whole Trae Young, Steph right. Curry, which I'm not sure if they'll make the playoffs. At this point, it's starting to look like maybe they'll be like a seven seed, maybe, possibly. I don't know. But I think Steph Curry gets in. He has a huge fan base. Like the Warrior, there's so many Warriors fans that, you know, come out of the woodwork when they win or lose. It's kind of just like the Lakers. And also Curry's just like one of those guys. He's just like must-see basketball TV. He's not shooting to his regular average, which is crazy to say because he usually averages 43% from three. He's only averaging 39%. Like, oh, what a regression for Curry.
Right.
But that's my all-star pick for the guard. And then my second one, this was really tough, and I'll kind of spoil it. It was between two guys. It was between Damian Lillard or Luka. And it's like, and it also was hard because both teams fucking stink. So it's like I couldn't give anyone the edge. You got the Blazers as we're recording this in the 8th seed. You had Luka and the Mavs as a 12th seed. But then it's hard because it's just like, I think Luka has the fan base for it. And I just think that Luka will get that all-star vote. Now, is he more deserving than Dame? I don't know. We'll have to see. It's so early to tell. But if I had to pick one, I think Dame has a better early season so far, but I'm assuming Luka's going to get it. That's my pick. Luka for it, and also I just want Luka in it, so that's who I think by all-star and also who I want there. So
yeah, I totally agree. Curry, I think, is a lock just because of the fan base, and he's been playing well, kind of a comeback season for him too. I agree, Luka has got the fan vote. It's kind of weird how similar him and Trae Young are, being, you know, completely different,
because
last year too I think there was a point where Luka almost had more fan votes than LeBron. I can't remember if it was East or West last year, but he was up there in fan votes. So, you know, I'd be pretty surprised if he doesn't make it. And just with him, I mean, he was predicted to be the MVP favorite this year. You know, everyone's kind of been hyping him up, is doing better than he actually is. And don't get me wrong, it's 27 points and almost, you know, a triple double pretty much. But it, you know, as of late, just hasn't really been converting to winning. So he's kind of in a weirder situation right now. But I think stats alone, you will probably give him the edge. Dame's been picking it up because he kind of has to, but I honestly thought CJ was going to get it over him. If CJ was still there. Yeah, CJ was balling, man. I feel really bad for the guy. But between the two, I'm going to give Luka the edge for sure.
No, I love that you brought up CJ because he was one of my dark horse, because CJ for a while, he was playing better. He was playing the best basketball of his career. CJ was just, he's just lights out, but he was playing better than Dame to start the season. And that kind of took a little bit away from Damian Lillard from me. But I agree with everything that you say. Damian Lillard is having a better season than Luka statistical wise. They're both not really translating into win. I just think Luka is going to get the fan votes. And it's crazy because Luka and Trey, basically what everyone was saying, and I'm not going to lie. If you go back and listen, I was kind of one of those guys too that was just like, hey, just accept it. Atlanta, you just lost a trade, but it doesn't matter because Trae Young's a great player. Like, you lost a trade. Luka's a generational, like, LeBron-ish talent. Trae Young's going to be, you know, a really, really great superstar kind of guy. Now I'm like thinking, you know, I always tell people not to judge draft class too early. You got to give them like 5 or 6 years. Now I feel like a fucking asshole for saying that after two. And then it's like, I don't know, bro, if Trae Young keeps this trajectory of playing, because he's not even that efficient. You know, it's like, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Because they also, from that trade, that was the trade that they ended up getting DeAndre Hunter or Cam Reddish, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll double back and let them know which one. But yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's our starters right now. No really arguments. And here, you want to take our Shaqton break real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so here, I gotta get a good transition for this, but basically, Shaquille O'Neal recently has kind of been in the spotlight because he's just been a kind of just an asshole. Like, there's no really sugar way to sugarcoat it. I'm not sure if it's COVID and maybe, you know, these the NBA TV TNT crew is just kind of getting, you know, a little like cabin fever. But Christian Wood came on and he kept calling him Christian Woods. You know, he's like, "Hey, Christian Woods, I never heard about you before, but you're really good." Christian Woods like, "Oh, Shaq, you're casual. Ha, that's funny." If that was an isolated incident. But then you had the whole Donovan Mitchell thing where he's like, "Hey, Donovan Mitchell, I basically was calling you a shitty player, even though you had 36 points, 9 rebounds and won the game."
On a winning streak.
Yeah, on a winning streak. And they're Jazz are the number one seed in the West right now. And Shaq was like, "Yeah, you suck. Step it up." And it's just, I don't know, man. Shaq, not, and then, you know, a lot of people were bringing up Shaq's history of kind of just being really sensitive. Like, when I think about it, the whole JaVale McGee thing was really funny. But then I'm like, why was he attacking JaVale McGee in the first place? And then, kind of, you know what I mean? It's like, he's been doing this for a long time, and we've always kind of laughed. But now it's like, we're just starting to kind of realize, we're just like, Shaq might, you know, he might not be comfortable with all these new guys coming in and just balling and playing. It seems like he's really, you know, he's kind of like worried about his like legacy, because he was like real mad at Dwight Howard too when he won that championship with the Lakers. He was like calling him a bum for no reason. It was not even like Howard said anything about him. He's just like, "Oh, you think, you know what I mean?" So
yeah, and it's one thing to too, because, you know, being an all-time great like he is, you do have room to, you know, kind of criticize and offer your, you know, critiques of their game. But there's points where it gets disrespectful, and I think not knowing a guy who's playing really well, you know, on a national televised game, is just, you have kind of one job, you know what I mean? After the game, you're going to be interviewing some players. You can at least know their name. And then one thing too, and this is definitely more on the disrespectful side for, you know, players that are not from the U.S., but saying, I think it was Jokic, he said he was from Russia or something like that. Just not knowing from the country. And that's something they really take offense to. And that's, you know what I mean? It's like, not everyone's going to know where he's from, but like, just to throw out a random country is just kind of stereotypical, and that really is going to offend some fan bases and the players, of course, because the foreign players take a lot of pride from where they're from. You know what I mean? So that's, you know, something he really needs to work on.
Yeah, it's 100% something he needs to work on. And it's just like, it's just lazy too, because it sucks that, you know, he's one of these guys that people look to grow the game. And it's just like lazy. You could just tell he doesn't watch the game. And I get it, though. He's like Shaq. It's like, you were in the league. But, you know, I quote unquote, that's why these blog boys are picking up so much. You know, like, for example, this show, too. Like, hey, thank you for all the listeners in India. That's why I think, like, we're picking up, because we are more knowledgeable. And you see, we do care about the game. Like, I know that Christian Woods is not plural. It's not multiple Woods. It's just Christian Wood. Yeah.
But, just one.
Yeah, it's just one. But it's just weird, too, because it's like, you would think Shaq would just be so okay with himself, but he's not. It's like, and that's another thing too. It's like, I like that you brought that up, because I hate how Shaq's like, "Oh, I'm pushing you to try and be a better player." If that's the argument you want to make, I'm gonna compare him to the late great
Kobe
Bryant. Because how Kobe Bryant would challenge people was, you know, like on Twitter, people would be like, "Kobe, you know, it's like, what's like, what do you want me to, like, what do you think, what do you think's my potential?" And he's like, "Oh, I challenge you to be an MVP." It's like, "I challenge you to make an All-Star game. I challenge you to do this." And then that was like a really big deal when he used to do that. I forgot who it was. Who was it?
Giannis.
Yeah, it was like Giannis. Yeah, it was like Giannis.
Yeah, he told Giannis to do it.
Yeah, and then that's like challenging. And then like he met with Tatum, and Kobe was not only helping build the game, he was helping build these young guys up. Shaq just feels like he's just tearing them down while claiming, "Hey, I'm trying to build you up," you know? So
yeah, and I think for him, I think he walks that fine line of actually trying to offer criticism and also still trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. And I think he just doesn't really know how to balance it, because I think it was last year he offered some pretty good advice to Embiid. I don't know if it was literal advice, but, you know, it was kind of a heart to heart, like, "Hey man, I know you're capable of this. You can put up these numbers." And he told him, he's like, "Go out and do it." And they talked after the game, same thing, like he interviewed him and he's like, "You know, I took what you told me to heart. I went out and did it. And here's my stat line. I killed it." And that's like the Shaq you need, you know what I mean? But just straight up insulting guys on national television is just wrong. And what the Donovan Mitchell thing was awkward. Like, that's something I really hope the TNT crew got together and said, "Hey, we can't do that ever again." Like, that was not fun for anyone. Disrespectful to Donovan Mitchell. Man just won the game, dropped like 36 points. And out of all people, like, Donovan Mitchell is probably one of the nicest dudes in the game. Like, I don't think a lot of people would have handled that as well as he did. You know, so I give him a lot of props for it, because I, you know, I would have been pretty salty, you know, I was him.
No, 100%. I would have been fucking salty as fuck if I was Donovan Mitchell. But all right, I got nothing pretty much else to talk about the great Shaquille O'Neal. You got anything else?
We got to go Big Chicken soon, though.
Oh, we do. Too long. We do. I do love me some. That is one thing. Shaq.
Killed it.
Shaq, you corporate shill. You do make some great products, man. I do love your chain's restaurant. So Charles Barkley's best sandwich there. All right. All right. Let's jump into our, how about this? We'll do our West reserves and then we'll double back to our, we'll finish the show with the East reserves. Cause I think for me, the East reserves are way tighter. Okay.
Sure. You want to just go one for one on the reserves?
Yeah. So my like undisputed number, we'll start with the forwards too. Cause I feel like the forwards always get more votes unless you're like Steph Curry. But my like easy no brainer lock first reserve pick was Paul George. That's me being like totally like no bias, no Laker. I'm not like we all were shit talking him for his performance in the playoffs, deservingly so. But you know, Paul George regular season, he's doing what he always does. He plays extremely well. Sometimes he's the best player on the court and he shares the court with Kawhi. I think he should be the first undisputed number one reserve.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think you could also, like I said, argue he could be starting over Kawhi. Mm-hmm. It's really whatever mood you're in and whoever played and had the better game last when it comes down to it, because they're both, their numbers are almost identical. They're both two-way guys. I think they're both on a 50-40-90 track right now. I know everybody, you know, there's a bunch of players that are right now just not having no fans. Percentages have been a lot higher, but, you know, either one of those dudes deserve it for sure to be starting.
Yeah, I mean, so Kawhi is averaging more points and than Paul PG. He's averaging 26. PG's averaging 24. But PG, he's not doing a 50-40-90. PG's is close to averaging a 50-50-90. So
it's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild, man. That's what I mean. He's shooting way better than Steph Curry right now. But yeah, Paul George for me, playoff B. That's my number one pick. All right. What about you? What's your who's your number two all-star then? Reserve.
I don't know if I'd really have him one or two, because there's definitely someone else I'd put before him. But because of the record and how good they've been doing, and because of again, just being an overall great guy, I'm gonna put Donovan Mitchell next. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, you can't ignore the one seed. And obviously they're about, you know, a game apiece right now, the Lakers, Clippers, and the Jazz. But they've been on a winning streak. You know, he's had this trajectory for a while now. I do think he's a great leader. I think he'll definitely get the coach's edge, I feel like.
Oh, 100%. I have the Jazz. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jazz get two guys. I kind of made it that way. I could see the coaches voting both of them in.
Agreed.
I agree with you. I actually on my, I made my, cause I did my list, you know, like who I want and then who I think's going to be in by the time All-Star happens. I actually didn't have Donovan Mitchell on my list because I not that he's like that I wanted him. I just think that if you had to pick one, like one guy on that Jazz, it has to be Rudy Gobert, because he's like the pillar. So? Yeah. And then the thing is too, it's like, and this is no knock on Donovan. I don't want like Jazz fans, you know, like
coming at you.
Yeah. Coming at me. This is no knock on Donovan Mitchell or anything. I don't want him like ringing the Benchwarmers and Burners hotline over here and telling me like, to fuck off. But like Mike Conley's been playing at such a high level that even when Donovan Mitchell misses those games, like Mike Conley or Joe Ingles can plug and play, and they don't play as well as Donovan Mitchell. And if you look at Donovan Mitchell's numbers, they don't jump out at you per se. Right. But I might sound like a hypocrite because I'm going to pick some guys later that are kind of averaging around the same numbers as him. But you know, if they don't have Rudy Gobert, like they're probably going to end up losing that game. But Donovan Mitchell doesn't play. I mean, they could still end up winning. Mike Conley's having a really good year. That's the only reason I put Rudy Gobert over Donovan Mitchell. But I'm assuming that the coaches are going to pick both. I only just pick Rudy. So that's my second pick then, is Rudy Gobert. All right. What about you? What's your third West reserve?
He hasn't been having the best season. You'll probably agree with this, but I am going to give it to AD. You know, in a normal season, AD should probably be starting. I mean, obviously, you know, with Kawhi there, obviously that's a, you know, discussion in itself, but we know what AD's potential is. So he should really be the first reserve. But obviously he's kind of, you know, having a slower start to the year. He's still going to get it. And I'm sure he's going to be picking it up by then anyway.
Yeah, like, okay, Rudy Gobert wasn't my second reserve. It's just because we were talking about the Jazz, so he, like, skipped a shit ton on my list. But yeah, AD was my second behind Paul George. I'm the same thing. This is a, it's still, like, an all-star season, but it's just not an AD.
Not to his standards.
Yeah, not to AD standards. Yeah. He even said, like, hey, man, I'm, like, in a funk or something. I also get it, too, because the Lakers just have more talented players. He's playing, this is the less minutes, this is the second less minutes him and LeBron have ever played since both their rookie seasons. So, you know, there's like a lot of outside factors like that. But also in the minutes he has played, he just hasn't played to the AD standard. But yeah, I agree because in a normal year, like last year, it was LeBron and AD and Kawhi were the three forwards. But there's no way you can argue that, you know, Jokic doesn't deserve it because Jokic is having an MVP season. So he deserves the starter spot over AD. But yeah, I agree with you. I have him there too. So. Three down, we got four more.
Oh, you want to go or you want me to go?
You know what? I'll go. Refresh my memory, you had Dame over Luka, right? Or no, you had Luka.
Yeah, I had Luka over Dame. I said you could make an argument for either, but I will give the edge to Luka because of the fan vote.
Okay, yeah. So my next one, since I got my three forwards were Paul George, Anthony Davis, Rudy Gobert. I'll tell you who I think could replace Rudy Gobert in a little bit. But Damian Lillard was my other one. I'm not going to talk too much about him because we already did for the starters. But I think he has a talent to be a starter. I don't think he's going to get voted in. So he's going to end up being a reserve for that team. But the issue, though, is now we're starting to get dicey because it depends how well all these teams' records are. But I think Dame's one of those guys that even if the Portland Trailblazers are like a 9th seed or 10th seed by all-star, he'll still probably
get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, he'll still get one because, you know, he's Dame Dalla. All right. What about you?
I totally agree with Dame. I think he should be a lock. You know, even when his team is outside of the playoffs, he's just that player everybody respects, both on and off the court, just as a leader. So I think we'll always get the edge. 5-7 were kind of tough, honestly. You know, I kept going back and forth, and I think even in a couple weeks, this might change just based off where people are in the standings.
Oh, it's definitely going to change.
If we can agree that, we'll probably agree that Gobert is in there, right?
Oh,
you want to throw him at number five?
Okay. You had Mitchell. I had Gobert replacing Mitchell. So,
okay, so I did have Mitchell, but I did give it to Rudy Gobert too at my fifth pick.
Yeah. So you had two. Okay. Well, mine. Yeah. My guy is he's my pick who I think is going to be an all-star later and who I also want, but I promise you, no one's thinking about. But give me that young Ja Morant. I think that the Grizzlies are going to be because think about this. They're the 6th seed right now. Granted, they missed so many games because of COVID, but they're the 6th seed, and they were doing this without Jaren Jackson Jr., without Ja for a while. It was just Jose Valanciunas and Kyle Anderson holding it down, and they're the 6th seed. I think that if Ja comes back and they, you know, play to the level of like a 7th, 8th seed, I could see him getting it as a second year reserve guy just because the coaches are going to look and be like, well, fuck, we have to give it to someone in the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are a playoff team. So that's one of my guys I think is going to. But also, I have a ton of guys. Like, for example, Ja can get that boot, and then that's how we end up with Rudy and Donovan Mitchell. Like, or like CJ could end up replacing Ja, like, if you give it to two. And then, like, another guy who's not on my list right now, but I also wrote as a dark horse, is DeRozan. Like, if the Spurs are still a 6th or 7th seed, you have to give one of the Spurs. He'll take Ja's spot. But that's my guy.
Yeah, to piggyback off that, because I did just look it up, because when I was looking down, I want Ja to be in it. You know, that's a guy, he's just, you know, he's a franchise player. He's so fun to watch, and he puts the numbers up. But looking at it, just because I wanted to make sure I didn't miss something, he's only played 5 games this season.
No,
so
100%.
The numbers are fantastic, but 5 games. Played amazing, had that hard ankle sprain a couple games in, and then I think they put the Grizzlies on like a 2-week pause because of too many COVID cases. So
yeah,
I'm not actually sure when the voting ends, but I actually unfortunately don't think you'll have enough games played by then to make a case, really. And that's obviously the whole Grizzly team. They're where they are in the standings because the win percentage is how it is, and they just don't, you know what I mean, have as many wins or losses, so it kind of stays idle there.
Yeah, February 16th is when the All-Star voting ends. Yeah, that's close. We'll see.
And I would love to see him, don't get me wrong. But yeah, number-wise, I just feel like he's someone I could see if he could get enough fan votes. He'd kind of be like the Trae Young situation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can't really see coaches and players giving him giving him the edge on the reserves.
Yeah, that's why I said that spot can easily get taken over by Donovan Mitchell, CJ, or DeRozan. Like, that's, those are all guys I have right next to his name. But that's pretty much, I think that's the only difference that we've had on the entire West list, right? We pretty much had everything.
So one name too, and this is kind of going to be in a similar situation, but I want to give Devin Booker acknowledgement. But his numbers have been down. He actually hasn't been playing as well as he usually is.
Not the
and
Booker
it's weird
standards.
Because the Suns have been winning. So, you know, we're wondering, is Chris Paul really just taking over the team?
Yeah, but Chris Paul's numbers aren't that good this year either. It's just, you know, so it's like,
It's a really weird situation, for them, but his numbers, like, they're still solid, especially because of, you know, if they are decently high in the standings, I will think he deserves it. It will depend on if he comes back from this injury quickly or not, because he did just pull a hammy the other day. But yeah, with how good the Suns have been, I think you got to give them some, you know, at least one player in there. And I think it would be Booker over Chris Paul.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I actually have Book as my very last spot.
Yeah.
But that's the same thing. Right next to Devin Booker's name, I have Donovan Mitchell, CJ, DeRozan, who can
I got DeRozan too.
Yeah, who could all take Booker's spot. But it's also one of those things where it's like, if the Suns are as high up as a seed, because they're the seventh right now. Let's just say they end up being like five or six, because that's where the Spurs are, and Grizzlies are just one ahead of them. Yeah. And like you were saying, Grizzlies haven't played a game in a long, long time. You have to give one. It has to be Booker, even though this isn't like...
Agreed.
But also, knowing how Booker's personality is, he would take the All-Star, but he'd also kind of feel, you know what I mean? He's like, shit, like, you know, this isn't my first All-Star. My first one was a reserve. And then now my first year getting voted in, it's like, I was like one of my worst seasons. Like, it was, I'm putting up numbers that I put up when I was my sophomore year, you know? So,
right. Yeah. I think he'll figure it out though, especially once he gets healthy. You know, when the team is that good, it's like, it'll all fall together. So for them to be winning and his numbers be dropping, that's definitely what you'll take over, you know, awesome numbers and losing. So I think he'll figure it out as soon as he comes back. I just hope the injury wasn't too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Because they were like losing some big games heavy. All right, my last and final spot, and then I'll let you do your last and final spot. What did you say you had Booker on there, or you were just thinking?
Yeah, I got Booker and DeRozan 6 and 7 on my list.
6 and 7, okay. Okay. Well, yeah, my number 7 was Brandon Ingram then. I did the same thing where right next to his name, though, I actually put Zion instead of having CJ, because I think CJ would take like Ja or Booker, one of those other guard spots. But, you know, Brandon Ingram and Zion are both forward. So that's why I gave it to Brandon Ingram as a guy I want. But then I wrote down who I think would take a spot would probably end up being like DeRozan, just because the Spurs, like, you have to give one to the Spurs, you know?
And DeRozan's having a really good season too. You know, he's never really the player that anybody wants to vote in for these things. It's not anyone you really want to draft in fantasy. But he's been balling. He's been putting up really solid numbers.
And he's shooting threes.
I think he's finally, he's shooting threes now. So yeah, I think he definitely deserves some recognition. He's the leader of the team too. I mean, it's a bunch of young dudes. I feel like the Spurs are always kind of overperforming, you know, expectations, but they've been playing pretty well. They're really fun to watch too.
No, this is like a really good mix of Spurs this year, because it's like, usually back then it's like, oh, the Spurs, you know, they're too old, I hate watching this team. And then but they have a really good mix of, like, you know, DeJounte Murray's really exciting to watch, I love watching him, Keldon Johnson's really fun, and then you have DeRozan out there, like Patty Mills, who's like playing like who's playing like the second or third option of six man of the year. Like, they're like a really fun team to watch, they play really hard. And it's weird because last year, their offense was exactly how their defense played, which was, hey, we're going to make sure you don't shoot any threes and force you to shoot mid-range. But that's all they did last year, was shoot mid-range. Now it's like they're actually shooting three spacing the floor. So I really like them. But yeah, that caps off our West list. All right, let's jump into our East reserves. Here, I'll start off. I'll rifle off my first three forwards, because I feel like we probably have the same. Sabonis, I feel like he's like should be the... like number one option for the forwards. Number two, big boy Julius Randle, that Laker alum. And then number three, Jason Tatum, who you could even argue he could, no, he couldn't take a forward spot because there's Embiid, Durant, and Giannis. But those are my three reserves for forwards on the East.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. With Randle, I do think he deserves it, and I would love to see him get in it. I am just curious about where the Knicks finally end up. Do you know where they're on the standings right now?
So yeah, the New York Knickerbockers are number 8.
Number 8.
They're in a
I definitely think he deserves it because they've been also outplaying expectations. But I'm going to have some bias to it, but I will personally give it to Tobias over Julius Randle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just me. Just because, you know, being the 1-2-3 seed, you know, hopefully we stay up there by then. Mm-hmm. You will probably give an edge to like the Tobias and the Middletons over someone in the 8 seed, even if they are playing that well. Because his numbers have been awesome, but he's, what is his average? I think he's like 22 points.
Yeah. 22 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists off 46, 35, 81 shooting.
Yeah, no, so he's been balling, but yeah, I will have some bias to it, but I will give it to Tobias over Randle and then Tatum and Sabonis. I don't think you can really argue at all that they shouldn't be the next two.
Yeah, well, this is why I said the West was easy because we double dipped a lot. Like you and I agreed, we're like, okay, 2 for Lakers, 2 for Clippers, you know. All right, fucking, you know, two reserves for the Jazz because that's just like they're winning basketball. But I'm giving it to Randle because that's the guy I want. But right next to his name, these are all the guys that I think will probably get it over him. I put Middleton, I put Tobias, I also put Brogdon, but Brogdon is going to be a guard because that's one of the things where you know if you argue we can give two guys to the Jazz. Why can't you give two guys to the Pacers? So those are all guys. And also another forward who's been having a monster season, but it's just not having the, you know, the PR that Bradley Beal is the 12-seeded Charlotte Hornets. Like Gordon Hayward is like a dark horse candidate to be an all-star. Because if the Hornets were in the Knicks position, like we would be like, oh yeah, Hayward over Randle, you know?
Yeah. Well, don't forget, you also forgot Bam.
Oh no! So I actually have him, but he's my because you know how you have the three forwards and then the two guards Bam was mine, but that's just only because the Heat fucking stink. Like the
third worst record right now in the East.
Yeah, they're the 13th seed. So isn't it crazy to think like this year we might possibly not have. Well, knock on wood, we'll see. We might not have any Raptors selected. And maybe no Heat. I do think Bam gets in because he's on my list, but I had him as like dead last.
Yeah, no, I think he's probably going to be close to the bottom of the list. I agree with that. I hope he gets it because I love Bam. I think he deserves it.
I know he will.
Team not winning, it's not really on them as much as them getting plagued by, you know, injuries and COVID. So I do think they're kind of at a disadvantage, but I do hope he gets it. I think he deserves it. He's been balling. He's been playing really well.
He will get it.
Yeah.
I didn't have him as like my top three, but I'm confident he's going to get it. Cause like we were saying, coaches love winners. That's why they end up picking two guys from the same team all the fucking time. But there's no way Bam doesn't get it. Cause he's averaging 20 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists on 57% shooting and 40% from three. Bam Adebayo, for those of you listening, is averaging 40% from three. Now he's only averaging about like, less than half a three a game, right? So I don't have the exact number about that, but just this is the fact that he's attempting it and shooting it, and he's shooting 85% from the free throw line. And let me tell you, Bam Adebayo gets fouled a lot. Like he's almost averaging close to 6 free throws a game. So he's also at like all this we're talking about because Bam doesn't actually get a lot of steals and blocks, but he's a phenomenal defender. So like I am like without question, I knew for a fact he's gonna make it. I just couldn't have him up there. If that makes any sense, because of how bad but I agree, it's not on him or anything. But yeah, so that's a little sneak peek of my, those are my three forwards and then my one special guy. But here, what about you? Who's your two guards before you say your two any position?
Yeah, I'm still kind of not sure how I feel about Kyrie and Harden because I agree, both of them should be on it, but just because of the drama behind them, if anything, I'll put them as like the two extras, but my guards are going to be, I did leave Jaylen Brown off my starters, so I will have him and then Chris Middleton.
Okay. Yeah. So mine's a little bit weird because like I said, I don't even think, so I had Trae Young and Zach LaVine as my two guards, but that's because that's who I want. But what I really think is going to happen is I don't even think Bradley Beal is going to be an all-star who I said was going to be my starter, but I hope I'm wrong, right? So then you jump Trae Young up because Trae Young's a starter. That opens up a spot. Now that's the spot that it's like, it's going to be guaranteed Middleton, Tobias, or Brogdon, and I'm probably leaning that it's going to end up being Middleton. And then also next to Zach LaVine, because that's the guy I want, I think that's either going to be Tobias or Brogdon, and I think it's probably going to end up being Tobias, just because it's going to probably be the Bucks and the Sixers are the 1 and 2 seed. And then if you were giving Tatum, if you're giving the Nets and the Celtics two guys, and they probably end up with a worse record than, you know, the Sixers and the Bucks, you got to give them two. So that's who I think. Yeah. I want Trae Young and Zach LaVine to be in, and Bradley Beal, but I think it's going to end up being those guys I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Middleton, you know, it would be what, his third All-Star game. I still think he's one of the most underrated players.
Dude, he's amazing this season.
And yeah, he's been killed. He's like their closer, which, I mean, that's not really like surprising, but when you think of Middleton, you don't really think of him being like that when you got someone like Giannis and now Drew Holiday. But, you know, Middleton, he's been killing it. He's still, I think, around 50-40-90 like usual, which is crazy. And they're always going to be one of the top seeds in the East. So I think you got to acknowledge that.
No, I get it too. And it's like Zach LaVine individual numbers is blowing him out of the water. LaVine's averaging 27-5-5 on 50-40-87. Middleton's averaging 21-6-6 on 51-44-92. So Middleton's more efficient. LaVine's putting up more numbers, but, you know, more numbers on a bad team. But I agree with you. Coaches value winning. That's why I don't think that I hate to say it, but again, I don't think that LaVine's going to end up. I don't think LaVine or Beal's going to end up making it. I think it's going to go to Tobias or Middleton. Brogdon, but I for sure think that it's going to be what I want these those guys, but that's who I think. Oh, another guy who I think is a dark horse, because that last spot goes to Bam, because the Cavs are the sixth seed and we haven't gave him a single person.
Sexton has been killing it.
Would you think it would be Sexton, or would you think it would be Drummond though?
That's tough, because Sexton's numbers just look better, because I think he's putting up, what, 27 points?
Mm-hmm.
Drummond 25. Is like, what, 15 and 15?
Sexton's 25, 25 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists on 51, 47, 81 shooting. Whoa, damn, I didn't know he was that efficient from 3. Yeah,
yeah. No, he's been crazy since he got back. But he was injured for a little bit, so I don't know how many games he's played in total.
13. Drummond's played 17, so it's only like a 4-game difference.
Okay, so they're around the same. I'd give the edge to Colin Sexton. I just think he's more fun to watch, especially. I don't think they're going to play the All-Star game, but in an All-Star game, I'd rather have him in it than Drummond. I think Drummond's just always been kind of an empty stats dude, and he's already got a couple All-Stars, but it's just, you know, the teams he's on, it's never really been contributed to winning any of his numbers. So I think that's probably something the coaches would take into account when voting.
Yeah, that would be. Well, the thing is, if we go with your way, where there's no Julius Randle and you replace him with Tobias/Middleton, you said Tobias, that frees up a guard spot, and then that's where Sexton can come in. So that's why you could still have Sabonis, Tobias, Jason Tatum, James Harden, Sexton, Bam, and then Middleton too, if you have Trae Young as your starter and just no Bradley Beal on there. So
which I don't even know if Drummond's going to be on the Cavs by the time the All-Star game happens.
Yeah, I don't either. But hey, man, this was great. What I'm going to do is for the listeners, I'm going to create some graphics too so you guys can see it, and then you guys can judge us and make fun of our lists. I'm going to try and make one where it's like who we want and who we think is going to be there. I'll try and make two separate ones, but thank you, Adam, for coming on. It's always fun.
Yeah, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.